Well, good morning again. So it's so good to have you here as we prepare to go into this week of summer road trip. We brought some friends in that are helping us enjoy the journey and get the most out of it. And so today I have invited one of my good friends in ministry, one of my best friends. Quentin Long is one of the pastors at Fusion City Church. Fusion City is the guys there are just, man, they've invested so much in me, and they have invested in helping us as a church, and they love URA Community Church and have just, they've demonstrated that in so many ways. And so it is an honor to have Quentin come today and talk to us about something that I think is one of the things that can totally change the picture for us. And so he is going to come and speak, and I pray that you will open your heart and mind to what God is saying through him. And most of all, right now, I would just love for you to give my friend Quentin a really warm welcome.
Well, good morning. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. So my name is Quentin. I haven't met all of you. I'd love to know your name. The easiest way would just be for us to all say it at the same time. It's completely useless, but I do want to make you feel important by asking your name. So on the count of three, just tell me what your name is, okay? And then don't ask me to repeat that afterwards, all right? So on the count of three, tell me your name. One, two, three. Glenn. I will remember Glenn. Out of all of those, Glenn, glad you're here. Everyone else, Glenn is here, okay? Very good. No, I am from Fusion City Church, and we absolutely love Ron, the leadership team here, you guys. I feel like we're family, even though we might not know each other. I'm just so glad to have an opportunity to come here and speak to you today, and just see what God's going to have in store for us today. So thank you guys for just paying attention, and I hope you guys enjoy kind of some stuff that we're going to talk through today. I would like to introduce you to someone, a friend that I met some time ago. You guys may know, we might have like mutual friends, I don't know, but this guy, he wears a sweater all the time. All right, don't look around the room, he's not in here right now, but he wears a sweater all the time. It's red and white, always red and white sweater, and his hat typically matches. He's pretty tacky. One thing I can appreciate about him is that he has some black frame, like really thick black frame glasses that I think are really cool. Like, I need to get some of those. He goes by the name of Waldo. Does anybody know where Waldo is? You see what I did there? Where is Waldo? Here's what I want to show you. How many of you have ever done a Where's Waldo picture? Anybody? Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, good, good. So I'm not completely like out of my generation here. That's cool. So these Where's Waldo pictures, I love them, particularly when I was a little bit younger. I really enjoyed looking through them. And there was always a challenge to find Waldo, because there are always folks that were dressed like him or acting like him or imitating him. And he was always hidden really, really well. So we have a real big problem. We're trying to solve this issue of finding Waldo. Well, I came all the way from Kannapolis to here this morning to help you figure out how to solve a Where's Waldo puzzle, all right? That's main reason I'm here today. You're going to walk away like, hey, I can find Waldo in any puzzle. Y'all ready for the secret? Y'all ready? I know y'all are like just... So on this picture right here, you'll see some columns and some rows. Some columns and rows. You guys see that? I can't see them on the back. So columns and rows. So you're going to see Waldo. And so this is how I find Waldo. I break the picture down into columns and rows. So I'll take the column. Typically, for whatever reason, I'll do the column all the way on the left. All the way on the right for some reason. And I'll just start skimming like down the column. I break it down into small little pieces, and I'm trying to find Waldo in little squares instead of the really big picture. So I keep going, I keep going, I keep going, and I make my way across the sheet in columns and rows until I find Waldo. Has anybody found Waldo? Like, that image is probably way too small for you guys. But I found Waldo. This message, I spent so much time in sermon prep trying to find Waldo in so many pictures. And I found Waldo. Let's see if we can find Waldo real quick. Here he is in column G. You guys see Waldo there in column G? Now, focusing on Waldo here. So we found him by columns and rows. He's there. We meticulously went through everything. In the bottom somewhere, there's like a little girl shoving an ice cream cone in her brother's face for whatever reason. In the middle somewhere, there are like four jocks running through the beach, just completely destroying everything. I found those things as well. But Waldo's what we're looking for. There's Waldo. Now let me show you the picture again, the original picture. Do you have some idea where Waldo is? Because you've seen it. You figured out how to find him. You've seen it, and now you can get back there. It's going to require a little bit of work to get back there, but you can get back there. You have a pretty good idea where he is. We can take these same steps with how to find Waldo, and we can apply that to a topic that a lot of us don't want to talk about, and that's the topic of money. Money. How many of you like money? Anybody like money? Yeah, nobody likes money. He's like, no, you're a preacher. You're going to say the love of money is evil, and then you can raise my hand. You can call me out. No. I'm not going to do that. Really, how many of you enjoy money in your checking account? Anybody, somebody be honest this morning. Like, I like money in my checking account. It's not ever there, but I like it, right? So this morning, here's what I want you to write down. This is on your notes. Write this down. You got to be knowing where your money is going. It sounds really weird. You're going to write it, and it's going to feel really weird, but hopefully you'll be able to repeat it. You got to be knowing where your money is going. You got to be knowing where your money is going. Can we say that together on the count of three? One, two, three. You got to be knowing where your money is going, all right? Does that feel really weird? We have any teachers in here? That's like really bad grammar, but it works, all right? We got to be knowing where our money is going. So this morning, a little disclaimer, this morning, I don't want something from you today. We're not going to pass an offering basket 300 or 400 times today. We're not going to do that. I want something for you. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. Today, I want to talk about how we find where our money has gone. We're going to talk about knowing where our money is going. One of the categories, one of the areas that our money typically hides in, is a category that I call discontentment. Follow me with this. We all have this category in our budget, but we typically don't put it on paper, but we have this category called discontentment. Let me tell you kind of what I'm talking about. All right, I have an iPhone 7. Anybody in here have an iPhone 7? Anybody in here have a, yeah, okay, cool, yeah. So this is gonna prove my point how crazy I am, okay? I have an iPhone 7, it's the latest iPhone that came out at the end of the year last year, okay? Here's the thing, before I got the iPhone 7, I had the iPhone 6S Plus, okay? What that means is I upgraded to a different phone because there's a different phone to upgrade to. Y'all ever heard the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Yes, yep, that ain't true anymore. If it ain't new, upgrade it, right? Right? Y'all tracking with me. Like, don't leave me out here like all by myself. Some new electronic thing coming out, like the iPhone 8's coming out this year. I don't know anything about it, except for the number 8 is different than the number 7. I want the new number 8. Is there anything wrong with my phone? No. If it ain't new, upgrade it. That kind of goes in my category of discontentment. I don't need it. I'm just discontent with what I have that really works really well. Right? You tracking with me? All right? Ladies, I don't know if it's like this here, but the church that I come from, LuLaRoe has gotten all kinds of crazy. See, all right, so it's happened here too. I get it. Ladies, LuLaRoe, look, they don't match anything, all right? So the ones you have now will be just as tacky as the new ones that you want to buy, all right? It got a little bit quieter in here. That's fine. My wife, she has some LuLaRoe. She knew I was talking about this today. She didn't wear them today. But she has some LuLaRoe as well. So here's the deal. I believe LuLaRoe can go in a category called discontentment. Look, there's nothing wrong with normal pants, right? Right? There's nothing wrong with normal pants. So you don't need those other colorful pants that you think matches a top that doesn't even match. I don't get LuLaRoe stuff. I just don't. I just want to talk about it for a minute and put it on stage for all of you guys. Again, I'm going to need some protection on the way out today. Bodyguards, something. I hope nobody's wearing LuLaRoe today. I should have checked that out. Discontentment, right? Discontentment. We need some new LuLaRoes because the other pattern, it doesn't match something, so we need another pattern. I saw LuLaRoes with hot dogs on them. Hot dogs. Somebody shaking their head like they own a pair or something. Anyway, discontentment, right? Here's something that maybe we can all talk through, kind of be on the same page with this category of where does our money go? We got to be knowing where our money's going. Where does it go? It goes in this category called discontentment. Maybe we can kind of come on the same page as debt. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you have debt, but just statistically, I'm going to guess that most of us in here have some debt, all right? So that's going to go into the area of discontentment. Here's how debt is kind of classified in this category of discontentment. So let's talk about car payments for a minute, all right? Car payment. Man, y'all tracking with me, all right? Told you. I'm going to need some security in a little while, all right? Let's talk about car payments just for a minute. I would tell you how my story got started. Like, I'll just throw this out there, all right? So after my wife and I got married, you know the American dream is to get married, and then as soon as you get married, what you have to do to be an American is you have to have a house payment, and you have to have at least one car payment for every adult in the house, right? That's the American dream, right? That was our American dream. So we ended up doing that, right? So we got married. We moved into a duplex, which didn't last very long. We had to buy a house because that's American dream. So we had a house payment, we had a vehicle payment, and then we had another car payment. And we didn't buy used cars because that's not the American dream, all right? That's American reality. We want the dream, right? So we go and we buy some new cars, okay? So brand new cars, both of us, this is how it goes. See if this scenario kind of plays out a little bit familiar to you. So we go to the car lot. This was some years ago, so these numbers are maybe a little bit low. But we go to the car lot. And we find this car that we really, 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 really like, okay? And the car was $25,000, all right? Cool, whatever, I don't care. Because the American dream is to have payments, is to have debt. So I literally sat down with the salesman. I said, hey, look, I don't care what the car costs. That's sticker price. That's like, whatever, blah, whatever. Like, I'm way more mature than just a stupid sticker price, right? I said, I need a car payment less than $400 a month. That's all I need. So the guys are like, yeah, okay, well, we can get your car payment down. The original, like, when they came in there the first time, the car was $25,000. Originally, when they came in, they're like, look, you can do a 36-month, three-year kind of deal, and it's going to cost you $744 a month. It's like, dude, I don't think you heard me. We just got married. I don't have $744 a month. I got $400 a month. I need you to get the car payment down. They're like, well, 4.5% interest is going to be that. No, I don't think you heard me. I need a $400 a month car payment. So we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, we got the payment down to $397. I felt like I owned a place at $397. That's $3 cheaper than what I wanted. You know why? Because it was 72 months. But it doesn't matter because I'm young, just got married. I'm going to be living the rest of my life. I'm always going to have a car payment. So bring on $397 a month, whatever it is. Bring it on. So that's exactly what we did. We came home, drove off the lot with a not $25,000 car, but we ended up driving off the lot with all the interest that was paid in that. We ended up driving off the lot with a $28,000 car. Okay, so we already owe more on it than what we're supposed to, but who cares? We have the rest of our life to pay it off, right? Right, tracking with me? Anybody have any similar situation to that? That's fine, don't raise your hand because it's embarrassing. I get it. So here's some statistics for the car payment, all right, here for the car stuff. So $28,000, that's $3,000, $3,500 in interest that we just kind of throw away because it doesn't matter because, you know, we're just discontent with a free car with no car payments or whatever, right? So day one, did you guys know this? Day one, you drive it off the lot. Did you know that your car loses 25% of its value? So we drove off the lot. We drove off the lot, and we left $7,000 behind us. We still owed it, but we left. We drove off the lot, and our car value went from $28,000 straight down to $21,000. It doesn't matter, because we're going to live forever, and we're always going to have a car payment. It'll make itself up somehow. Did you know this? Six years later, a car is worth, brand new car, 6 years later, a car is worth 80% of its value. Do you guys know that? So the car, literally, the car that we paid $28,000 for, 6 years later, it's worth $5,700. Debt goes into this category of discontentment, right? We have all this debt. We're paying $3,500, thousands of dollars in interest. We're doing all of this because we're not content with the vehicle that we're driving, so we got to go buy a new one. Here's the moral of the story with the cars, okay? In 6 years, we're driving a $5,700, $5,000 car around, right? So here's just some little advice for you. All right, don't go buy a new car. Don't do that. Just go spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a car that you can pay for today and not have any payments and save yourself $20,000. Y'all tracking with me? I'm throwing a bunch of numbers out there. I like numbers. That's just the way I go. If you need like more in-depth help with this, I'll be glad to help you with it, all right? The point, the moral of the story is go buy some cheap cars, all right? Because we got to be knowing where our money is going. We got to know where our money is going. Got to be knowing where our money is going. We have to be able to find where our money is going. Just like Waldo, it seems really daunting to see this picture of Waldo, have no idea where he is, and then you break it down into columns and rows, and we can start discovering where all of our money is, all right? I created this worksheet. It's going to be up on Facebook for you guys by the end of the service. I created this worksheet. It's called the Statement Worksheet because I don't have really creative titles for anything, okay? It's called the Statement Worksheet because it's a worksheet that you use for your bank statements, all right? So this is fill in the blank. Write it down. Statement Worksheet. Go to the Facebook page. You guys, you are a Facebook page. Hey, you are a community church. You got it's a PDF. Download it. Take this sheet with you, okay? Take your bank statement, and it's going to break your bank statement down into columns and rows, columns and rows. And you're going to be able to find out where all your money is going just by breaking it down into columns and rows. So you look at your entire statement. Some of you guys have a bank statement. Those are free, by the way, for those of you that don't. Anyway, so some of you have a bank statement that's like 10 or 15 pages long. That's bad, all right? You don't want to do that, all right? So you take your bank statement, and you break that down into some categories, some columns, and some rows. And then there's a way on that sheet that you can figure out your percentages, how much you're spending, how much you're bringing in, how much you're spending on food, or how much you're spending on going out to eat, or how much you're spending on gas, or how much you're spending on your home, or how much you're spending on whatever. You can break it all down. You can start seeing where all your money is going. Because we got to be knowing where our money is going. We're responsible for the resources that we have. We have so much potential to do good in this world, in our life, if we can have some control over our money. There's so much potential. So if we know where our money's going and we can stop sending it to places like that discontentment category, and we can rein that money back in, we can start using that money for other things. But it's going to take some self-control. Anybody in here enjoy doing a budget? Anybody? Yeah, one, two, or three people. That's great. Y'all just as crazy as I am. I enjoy doing budgets, especially somebody else's budget. I don't like doing mine too much, but other people's budgets, that's fun. It's fun. All the rest of you, you need some crazy people like me and the two people that raised their hand to help figure out some budget stuff. I call it the B word, all right? It's the B word. We don't like to say the B word in church, all right? So the budget, we got to be knowing where our money going, but it's going to have to take some self-control. Look at Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28 says this. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If you are that man that is like a city that has had their walls broken into and maybe even no walls left, you are fighting something. You are there defeated and you are there defenseless because you have no self-control. My encouragement to all of you today, have some self-control with your finances. Again, I'm not saying that so that this church will be rich and you can pocket the purses of whoever might be in charge around here. This has nothing to do with you giving to Uari. Has nothing to do with our folks giving to Fusion City Church. This has everything to do with you taking control over your finances, and it can be done just as easily as we solve the Waldo puzzle. But it's going to take some self-control. Self-control. So in the time that I have left today, I want to give you a plan. We've talked about taking control over our money. We've talked about how to find our money. We've talked about the fact that we've got to be knowing where our money is going. Before we leave here today, I want to help you with what I think is a pretty simple plan. It's going to take some effort on your part, but it's a pretty simple plan on how to get control over your money. Here's the plan. Here's the plan. Give, save, and spend. Three words. Give, save, and spend. Think about this for a minute. The norm in our society is that in reverse. The society that I've grown up in will tell you to spend all that you have. Owe it all. Spend it all. Just get rid of it. And then if you have anything left, you might want to save some of it. And then that leaves no room at all for giving, right? It leaves no room at all for generosity. So today, let's focus on give, save, and spend. Chris Brown says this. Chris Brown says, "You will never have financial peace until you learn to manage money with an open hand." Chris Brown works for Dave Ramsey, great financial gurus. You will never have financial peace. Anybody here want financial peace? Anybody here want financial peace? You will never have financial peace until you learn to manage money with an open hand. Never. But what we tend to do is we like to, whatever dollars are in our checking account, boy, we're going to hold on to that. But we'll never have financial peace in our life until we manage money with an open hand. Here's why. Let's get a little churchy for a minute. The reason that we can't have financial peace unless we manage money with an open hand is because the economy that we live in is different than God's economy. You see, God's economy is God is in control. He has an idea on how we manage the resources that we have, and we ought to manage money that way. Give, save, and spend. The American economy, the American how-to, is spend all you can. Spend it all. Maybe save, maybe give, but spend it all. In God's economy, we have to think differently. Check this out from Psalm 24, verse 1 through 2. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." Everything is God's. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to manage our finances according to God's economy, according to the fact that God has created everything, and that we will be better off. We will function in a more efficient and more intentional way if and when we start operating as though we're operating in God's economy. I don't know if you guys ever paid too much attention to the offering envelopes that you have here at URE. It's almost identical to the envelopes that we have at Fusion City Church. We worked together when we designed those things. Here's the verse that's on the envelope. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this: "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Here's why we put that on our cards. Here's why we put that on those envelopes. Because we never want you to come to URE. I never want you to come to Fusion City Church and feel like we're beating you up over money. Here's what I really believe. Let me show you all my cards. Here's what I really believe. I believe that folks will become more generous to the church or not. They will become more generous just in general. They will be more generous people. You will help people. You'll give better tips. You'll give more stuff away. You'll become more generous people overall. If we first know how to manage our own finances, I believe that people want to be generous. I believe that we all want to be able to give stuff away. I believe we all want to pick up somebody's tab, the table beside of us at a restaurant. I believe we want to participate in the giving here at URE. We want to help the church grow financially. We want all that stuff. But the reality is we just can't do it because our personal finances are a wreck. And in God's economy, if we're supposed to be giving first, and then if we're supposed to be giving and then saving and then spending, if we're supposed to be doing it that way, then we have to get our personal finances right. And that's what I'm here to share with you this morning. I want to help you, enable you to give more generously to URE, to another nonprofit, to wherever. Just be generous people. If you're a Christian, you've got to believe at least a little bit that God's people ought to be the most generous people in the world. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. God's greatest gift to us was free, and now we have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. For one reason, is because God loved us first, and God gave us His Son for free. But it cost God a lot. That's generosity at its best. So in our finances, can we not show the generosity, the generous nature of Christ through our finances by just giving it away? Just giving it away. We ought to be generous people because we live in God's economy. We ought to be generous because we want to, not under compulsion, but cheerfully give. A couple years ago, Fusion City Church, we had a Compassion Sunday where Compassion International came in, and they set up tables, and we gave our folks opportunities to sponsor a Compassion Kid from the Dominican Republic. I've always wanted to sponsor a kid. It was $35 a month or something. I would go to conferences all the time, and I would see these tables set up, and I would always think about my kids. Right now, I have a 4-year-old and a 13-year-old. I would always think about my kids and how, like, we live in America, and their life is awesome. They won't tell you that, but their life is awesome. And so we have these kids, and then I look at all these kids on the table at these conferences from Compassion International that don't have money for school, they don't have money for food, their family doesn't have money to pay for rent in a hut that they're supposed to be living in with dirt floors. They don't have all this, and I would go, and I was like, it's $35. I can't make ends meet now. How am I going to let go of $35? This has happened year after year after year. And then finally, my family, we got our finances right, and we started working out of God's economy, and I put giving first, and then we brought Compassion to Fusion City Church, and my family sponsored a Compassion Kid, and now every single month, like clockwork, that $35 leaves our checking account. I don't even miss the $35. Why? Because we've prioritized it. And here's the thing that I love. Generosity unlocks something inside of you that nothing else will. This year, we were able to give even more. We were able to give hundreds of dollars to Darlani, our Compassion Kid. And that money, we got a letter just the other day, that money went to pay for rent for three months for her family. She was able to have birthday presents that she wouldn't have been able to have if our family wasn't generous. We're able to provide food. They sent us a picture of stuff. I think they even had some like puffs there. I don't know if y'all know those little puff thing are for like kids and stuff. Like they had some real good food is what I'm saying. So we gave all that stuff. That's the best money I've ever spent, including my iPhone 7. It's the best money because we gave it away. Here, have it, because we live in God's economy. My income really hasn't changed. Our perspective has changed. We've got our stuff together. We started figuring out where our money was going. We started looking at this puzzle, this crazy maze of numbers, and we started making sense out of it with columns and rows, and we started looking at our expenses, and we got that stuff under control, and now we're able to be generous because that's God's economy. So, let's talk about how to do this briefly. Let's talk about how to do this. How do we give, save, and spend? If we're going to do things in this order, give, save, and spend, let's talk about give just for a moment. All right? You can apply this to URE, or you can completely exclude the URE. This has nothing to do with URE doing money today, okay? Here's what I want you to hear. If you're not giving something, if you're not generous at all, here's where you start. Just give something. Give something away. give some, whatever random dollar amount you and your family pray about and you come up with, just give something away. If you're not generous, start being generous somehow. Just give it away, something. $5, $50, $500, whatever, just give something away. Just start releasing some of those generosity juices within inside of you. If you would consider yourself to be a generous person right now, I would encourage you to start giving 10%. That's not some magical number. 10% is just easy, all right? 10%, you just move decimals over. It's easy. I like 10%, all right? It's just easy, easy math. Give 10%. If you're already giving 10%, because that's just the way that you were raised, or that's just the where you are in your finances right now, if you're giving 10%, I would encourage you to give more. I'd encourage you to give more. And I'll tell you, it's tough. It's challenging to be generous at a level that you've never been generous before. But generosity unlocks something inside of you that nothing else will. Give something. All right? Now, what about save and spend? How do we save and spend? How do we save and spend? I teach this all the time to families at Fusion City Church. We go through this a lot. We sit down with families, with individuals, and we go through Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps. Anybody in here familiar with Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps? So I just want to share with you briefly these 7 baby steps that will help you start getting some traction on your finances, all right? So we already talked about giving. Give something, be generous, start that in your life. And now how do we save and give? How do we save and spend? We save and spend according to Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps. So I'm going to run through this real quickly. There's also some room on your notes for you to take notes of some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, all right? So we're going to go through this pretty quickly. They're super easy. Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps. Baby step number one. Save $5 to $1,000 immediately. Make it happen. Save $5 to $1,000, all right? If your income is $20,000, $25,000 or less, save $500. If your income's more than $20,000, $25,000, save $1,000. Do that immediately. That's step number one. Number one is save immediately. How do you do that? I don't know. If you have multiple kids, typically there's one you don't like. I don't know if it's true in your family or not. I don't know. All right. I don't know. Yard sales, eBay. I'm not talking about your kids. Yard sales, eBay. Do something. All right. Sell some stuff. All right. Stop spending some stuff. Do that. Do that statement worksheet and figure out where your money's going. Save some money immediately. Okay. Save some money. After step number one, these are baby steps. So you take one step. You don't take two steps. One step. Your first step, save some money immediately. Okay? Don't go out to eat. Don't go into any more debt. Don't do anything until you have a savings. Okay? You got to have a savings account. Save something. Step number two, the debt snowball. Debt snowball. This is super, super, super easy. The debt snowball. List all of your debts. That might not be easy. List all of your debts. List your debts from the highest debt amount on the bottom to the lowest debt amount on the top. All right, so if you have $100, $500, and $1,000 debt, you got 3 of them. Put the $100 on top, and then the $500, and then the $1,000, okay? Don't worry about interest rates. Don't worry about which one is going to have, not interest rate, yeah, interest rates. Don't worry about which one has the highest APR, all that stuff. If you were a math whiz, you wouldn't be in debt, right? Amen. Good. Put them in order. Lowest debt on top, all the way to the bottom. Here's how the debt snowball works. The debt snowball works this way. After you pay off your $100 debt, then apply that $100 to debt number two. You follow me? So now you're paying an additional amount on debt number two, and you're just knocking it out. After you knock out debt number two, now you're taking whatever you were spending on debt number one and whatever you were spending on debt number two, and now you're applying it to debt number three. And you're going to start just snowballing through your debt. You're going to get it paid off really, really quickly. Typically, 12 to 18 months, you'll be debt-free. Imagine you being debt-free just for a moment, all right? How many of you who are in debt would like to be debt-free? Don't raise your hand, because anyway, everybody know you're in debt, all right? But it'd be awesome to be debt-free. That car that we talked about earlier, if you're debt-free, then you're not throwing away $3,500 or $22,000 anymore. You're debt-free. Baby step number three. All right, baby step number three. 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Here's how this works. All right, that $1,000 savings on baby step number one, that's not going to get you too far. If something happens to your job, something major happens in your life, you're going to need 3 to 6 months of living expenses. How do you do that? Just think for a moment how much you're spending on your debt payments right now. How quickly could you, if you're not spending all that money on debt, how quickly could you build up a 3 to 6 months of living expenses? It'll happen quicker than you think it might. And it does say living expenses. It doesn't say your entire salary. Whatever it costs you to live, whatever you have to have. Cable's not one of those, right? Cable's not. Going out to eat line items, not one of those. Whatever you have to live on for a month, that is a living expense. So 3 to 6 months of living expenses. If you're going to have trouble with this and the first kid didn't sell very well, then maybe you can revisit the second kid, okay? Good. Baby step number four, 15% in retirement, all right? Look, when we bought our car for the first time, I wasn't thinking about retirement. It didn't even matter to me, right? I was just going to make car payments for the rest of my life. That's not true anymore. So now I got to act like a mature adult and start thinking about retirement. But don't put money into retirement until you have your 3 to 6 months of living expenses, okay? Because if you're going to be putting money into retirement, but yet something goes wrong and you lose your job, you're going to have all this money in retirement that you can't use, and you're going to be suffering financially because you put all your money in retirement, but you didn't take care of your present, okay? 15% to retirement. As you're giving 15% to retirement, you can also do baby step number five. Okay, baby step number five. That is college funding for kids. Now, if you did the two saving steps accurately, you don't have to worry about kids' college. Somebody else, whoever you sold your kids to, would have to worry about kids' college fund, okay? But if for whatever reason you kept your kids, I'll probably keep mine, one of them, I'm not quite sure about, but we're probably going to keep at least one of our kids. So we're going to have to start thinking about college. All right, so we're going to be putting 15% into retirement, and then we're also going to start saving for college. Some of the savings plans for colleges, they really only allow you to put $2,000 a year in there anyway. There's some details on that that we can share later. You can look into Dave Ramsey. He'll explain all that stuff out. But really, saving for college is not a major expense, particularly when you start doing it early enough, and that starts building over time. It's not a major expense to save and prepare for college. It is a really big deal if you don't save for college and your kids are ready for college. And then baby step number six. Baby step number six, pay off your home early. Your house doesn't get included in your debt. You know, baby step number two, debt snowball, house doesn't get included there. Why? Because it's a really big debt. It's a really big deal, okay? So don't get bogged down in your house in baby step number two. But now that we're at baby step number six, we're putting 15% into retirement always, we're saving for kids' college fund, and we're also going to take all that money that we were spending on our debt snowball, all that money that we found that we were putting into our savings account, we're going to take all that money and we're going to start just nailing, just hammering our home. I don't know what your house payment is, but man, my life would be sweet if I didn't have it, right? Can you imagine what you could do, what you could give away if you didn't have your house payment? Could you think about that just for a moment? Every month, hundreds or thousands of dollars every month that you could give to a compassion kid or that you could give to a particular function or a particular idea that the church has, a mission project or a community project. Could you imagine what you could do, how generous you could be with your life if you didn't have a house payment? That's where we ought to be. And then baby step number seven. That's the last one. Build wealth and give. Build wealth and give. We're debt-free. We're debt-free. We're building a retirement plan. We're helping our kids get into a college. We're helping, we're we're saving now. We have a good savings. We're giving regularly because by this point we're giving more than 10% probably because we're just generous people. And now the only thing that we can do financially is continue to build wealth, continue to work, continue to invest, continue to do whatever. As you're building wealth, that means the more and more and more you can give because we live in God's economy, because we ought to be generous people, because God was so generous to us by offering Jesus Christ His Son. Those, folks, are the baby steps. You can get control over your finances. It's true. You can do it. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it by giving, by saving, by spending. Hebrews 12:11 says this: for the moment, all discipline, that's what we're talking about today, some self-control, some discipline. At the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It would be so worth your time and your investment, your energy, to sit down, do a budget with your family, look through that statement worksheet together, start walking through Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps. Get your financial life in order. You know, they say married couples fight about 2 things. There's only 2 things married couples fight about. And you can tell if this is true in your life or not. 2 things married people fight about. Number 1 is kids. Amen. Number 1's kids. Amen. Number 1's kids. Number 2, finances. It's only 2 things that married couples fight about. If you fight about more stuff than that, sorry. Sorry. It's not today's message, all right? If you made more money, she wouldn't fight with you so much. If you didn't spend it all, he wouldn't argue with you, all right? We have to get our finances under control. We have to put the discipline in to do it. It's going to be painful, but now it's not. Not for our family. Now it's a joy to figure out how much we can give away, how much we can save, how much we can prepare, how much we can be good stewards of the resources that God has entrusted my family with. How about you? What kind of resources has God entrusted your family with? Are you being good stewards of what God has entrusted you with? Do you know where your money is going? According to some local stats, in a church about this size in our region, on an annual basis, our church spends about $825,000 a year just in interest alone. That's all of our debt. That's all of our APRs. That's all of our cars, all of our credit cards, all the furniture that we had to have, all that stuff, right? So imagine what you are, a community church. All of you, imagine what this church could do collectively or individually out in the community, in your circles. Imagine what would happen with you are a community church if we invested $825,000 this year into our community, into needs that aren't getting met. Can you imagine what that would look like? It would be insane. We're all passionate about something. What if we had some money to make the world a better place because we're no longer spending payments or making payments and wasting away money through interest? You know what they say about statistics? 50% of them are inaccurate. So let's just say I got this off. Let's just say it's not $825,000. What if it's only $400,000? What if it's only $100,000? What if we were just able to redirect our money that we're spending on interest and fuel God's economy with generosity through our finances? What if you were able to send a little girl named Darlani a check for a few hundred bucks, and she was able to celebrate her birthday, maybe for the very first time? And what if you're able to send her family a few hundred bucks, and now they don't have to worry about rent payment for a quarter of the year? Or what if you sent Darlani and her family some money, and with that they were able to buy a goat? I don't even know what I would do with a goat. But Darlani does. I don't know if they drink the milk or eat it. I don't know what they do with it. But we had an opportunity to completely change their life because we know where our money is going, and we're going to keep an eye on it, and we're going to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. The question for today: are you ready to take the step and begin taking control over your finances so that you too can participate in God's economy? Will you pray with me? God, we love you. God, today's message, today's topic, it really is so important, and it touches all of us in some way or another. We're talking about money today, something that we hold so dear to our heart, so close to us. We're so protective of it, but yet we spend so little time actually managing it. So God, today, through the families that are represented here today in these seats, would you begin moving in their lives, encouraging them, telling them, helping them start putting a plan to their paychecks? God, would you allow them to be generous, maybe for the very first time, and just experience the truth that generosity unlocks something inside of our lives that absolutely nothing else will. God, today, would you change some lives? God, today, maybe someone heard for the first time that you are the most generous person, most generous being that have ever existed, just by the fact that you gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin, for our sins. So God, maybe today you'll change somebody's eternity because they want to come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what happens here today, God, I just pray that you'll be glorified, that your church will be lifted up, that the church would be able to do bigger and greater things in this community, because we're not money hoarders anymore. We're money managers. Because we're not stingy anymore. Because we're no longer putting money into a category called discontentment, but we are very intentional with our money, and we're going to be giving money away now because we can, because our junk's together, because we have our columns and our rows is organized. And God, we're living on purpose financially starting today. God, I thank you for the wisdom that your scripture gives us on money. God, I pray that you'll just help us, God, start living according to your economy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.